It's book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 19 to 25 verses. As you see the day approaching, more so, accord yourself. Under this title, we will frame the teachings. As you see the day approaching, more so, accord yourself. We will share the word under this title. Therefore, we start out the teaching. Therefore is a conjunction that uses the foregoing as the predicate to establish the following narrative and the logic, and therefrom conveying the gist of the message. Let us read verse 10 that led up to the teachings of today. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Verse 12, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. 17 verse, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Therefore, it is conveying an important message to us by starting out with the word conjunction. Let us be emboldened by the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, let us be near God and approach Him. And therefore, let us hold fast to the word. These are the three messages. First, therefore, let us be emboldened by His precious blood more so. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, the holy place is the area at the deep core of the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was preserved, wherein God's presence was manifested. Our sinner cannot be inside of it. Why? Because God's holiness will attack these sinners and these sins, and thereupon will die instantaneously if you contain any sins, possess sins, and hence to prevent you from entering and from dying, there was a curtain that was partitioning the two areas, and once a year, annually, a high priest would enter the holy place on the 17th of the month. They would be behalf of the people, forgive, ask for forgiveness for the people, and the high priest would have the blood and sprinkle the blood, and through the conduct would seek the forgiveness of God. And if God, if he was pleased with it, would accept the offerings, and the sins would be forgiven. However, the high priest, if could exit the area with his life intact. However, if there was a blemish and God was not pleased with the offering, then the sin could not be forgiven. And the high priest, the remnants of the sin still remains. Hence, before the holiness of God, what happens to the high priest would die instantaneously on the spot. Hence, high priest, owing to this consequence, cannot lightheartedly enter the area, but in fear and trembling would enter the area. In fear and trembling, God would, he would exclaim the name, please forgive us. I offer you this sacrificial blood. Please forgive us and let us not die. And in this manner, would in fear and trembling wholeheartedly would seek for the forgiveness. However, Jesus, on our behalf, he died on the cross. He did not sacrifice the animals, but he sacrificed himself to redeem us once for all. On the cross, he shed his blood, and from the power of the sacrificial blood, he had atoned us for all of the sins once for all. Hence, we no longer have to be in fear of revealing our sins. We do not have to fear dying upon being revealed with the sins. Now we can be emboldened to enter into the most holy place. From what? From the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we, by being empowered by the blood, let us be empowered by the blood. It is encouraging us to do so. His blood has power. It has the power to atone us and absolve us for all the sins from the past, present, and the future. Upon sinning, we remember the sins, but God will no longer remember it. This is the power of the sacrificial blood. We have committed the sins. He will forgive us, and we can righteously stand before God. This is what the sacrificial blood does for us. We will not die. We can be emboldened and boldly stand before God. This is the power of the sacrificial blood. Let us be empowered by this. You must. Verse 20, let us read together. By a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus has sacrificed himself, and his body was torn apart and died from it. An event of cosmic importance had transpired upon him dying. It is recorded in this way. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus, as his body was torn asunder, the curtain from the top to bottom was demarcated and was partitioned into two. It was divided into two, and in between the two partitioning area, the road had been opened up to us. Leading up to that, we were sinners, and God is holy, and God attacks the sinners. And when we had approached God, we would die, and we could not be entering into his holiness premise because of death in various colors, white and such. It was cordoned off external to the area. Adam and Eve, when they had transgressed before God, they became sinners, and the holy God, they could no longer be with them. And God had no choice but to attack them because of their sins, and they were expelled from the land. And their lives, the life of the tree, they no longer could enter it, and the path to it was blocked off. God had done this. Why? They had delegated the angels to protect the area so that the sinners cannot enter it. But the angels were imprinted onto the curtains. What does this mean? It means that you sinners can no longer enter the area of the holiness. You cannot be approaching God. Back off. This was the message of the curtain, and it was cordoned off in this way. However, Jesus, he had sacrificed himself and was crucified, and when his body was torn asunder, the blocked off pathway that was being blocked off by the curtain was partitioned into two, and the blocked road was no longer blocked but opened up to us, became the portal to God. And Jesus' sacrificial blood opened up the road for us so that we can approach God, and he encourages us to approach God now. Hallelujah. Verse 20, let us read together again. By a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body. God says to us, Jesus, he opened up the road for us with his blood. A new road has been opened up for us, which means a new way for the new covenant. Old Testament's pathway was a road that would be fulfilled through our immaculate acts, that of our own volition and acts and conducts that you could lead you to the salvation. But however, the problem was that we are flawed people, and we could not carry out the commandments perfectly, immaculately. There's no way, it's impossible, as we are sinners. Not a single inhabitant can carry out his commandments immaculately and receive salvation. Hence, the pathway from the Old Testament can lead you only to death. However, the New Covenant, God has sent Jesus to open up the road for us through Jesus Christ. And now from the context, that was not the case anymore. Jesus Christ, on our behalf, He had sacrificed Himself. And through our confession of belief, not through our conduct, but by the fulfillment of Jesus' conduct and ministry, from His grace, we have attained the grace, and now we can enter into God's domain. And this pathway has been opened up by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Second, this is the road of life, a life, the trembling. It's not the road that will lead you to trembling and to be in fear, but a road that will give you new life, to renew your life. This is the new pathway from the New Covenant. And therefore, we must be emboldened and empowered by the precious blood of Jesus. Let us be empowered by His blood. Let us believe in Him. Let us rely in His blood and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Secondly, and therefore, let us be near God. Verse 21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, God's house, His tabernacle, His holy temple, it is speaking of. However, Book of Timothy, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. It is the God's church, God's household, and Jesus was the head of the household and was the high priest of it. As the high priest, what does Jesus do? He will cleanse us of our sins. He will purify it. How did He do this? On the cross, as His body was being torn asunder from the purified water and the blood, He had purged us all, us. He had cleansed us. In verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Hallelujah. And having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. It's not a variable, but with conviction that you have already received the grace. It's a foregone conclusion. This is what is stated in the verse. God has shed His blood and water, and through the blood and the purified water, He has cleansed us of our sins. It's a fait accompli, the salvation. Not that it will happen, that it's a contingent, but it has happened. We have been sprinkled with His blood and the purified water, and heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies. And now that this is our current state, we need to approach God. And the curtain that was blocking us from God has been opened up to us. And the new life has been opened up to us. Now with this conviction of belief, let us be near God and approach Him. Jesus is imploring us. Let us now, when you approach God, do not be in fear of being rebuilt with your sins, and do not be in fear of dying of your sins. But now that He has redeemed us, and from the blood of Jesus Christ, with the purified water, now that He has cleansed us, He has made us righteous, do not be in fear of death. With a new life, though as a new creation, let us approach God and be more intimate with Him. Let us intimately approach Him. This is our blessing. He is the life. He, when you are near Him, you will receive the life. And some people say they are living, but they live under the dominion of darkness, and they struggle, and they barely are living. That's not real living. A real living is when you approach God, renewing the life. This is when you will be instilled with a new life. He is the source of all things. When you near Him, when you approach Him, you will receive all things and receive the blessings. Therefore, let us be near God. How can you approach Him? Through the prayers, you can approach Him. when you seek him, when you exclaim his name, Abba, when you exclaim his name in this way, through the prayer, you can approach God. And through the worship, you can approach God as well. This worship, as we speak, you can meet God, you can be in communion with him and be greeted by him. And through the proclamation of faith, and you can find him. He has left the doors open to give us a new life. Let us approach him. Let us be near him more so than ever. Lastly, therefore, let us firmly hold on to the word. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God has promised us, and he is trustworthy. You can trust him to fully execute the promise, and all we need to do is to have hope. The salvation contained in his promise. At times, because of your faith, you will be persecuted and you are at a loss, and the road to it is narrow and cumbersome. But through his promise and with Jesus, you will usher into the grace and salvation. I pray in the name that you believe in this, and upon death, you will be reawakened and resurrected to a new life, and you will enter into the heavenly kingdom. You will inherit this. Do you believe in this, and do you wish for this? Do you believe in this? Do you hope for this? Do not be wavering in your stance of faith. Firmly hold fast to the word. Why is he commanding us to do this? Because if you do not hold firmly to it, you could be robbed of it. The satanic forces will rob you of it, and it will pilfer you of the faith, and you will instill fear, and you will be instilled with the sins, and you will be tempted by the sins of the world, and you will be wallowing and languishing in the worldly ways, and you could plunge into the sinful ways. He had admonished us. This is why he is telling us to hold firmly to the word, lest you fall into the damnation. Do not be tempted by the sins. Then are you too insolent to hold on to the word? This is not the case. You must look after each other. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You have to spur one another and support each other. It's not something you do in solitary. God has convoked us to the church. Why? So that you can look after each other. You look over each other and you support each other. You encourage each other. What do you encourage them with? Each other with love and love of God. Let us feverishly love each other. This is what we ought to do. Do you know the names of the people sitting next to you? Do you know their situations? Our church is not something you do on your own. You must do it together with the church. You must look after each other. We must love each other and support each other. Together with the love, you have to conduct good deeds. It's not merely speaking of giving succor to the needy, but you are together with your brothers, leading the life of faith. What does it mean to live a life of faith? You are believing the word. According to the word, you are leading your life. This is what a good deed is in the context I am speaking of. You say you are believing Jesus Christ, but what do you exactly believe in? You believe, but you don't accord yourself with the word. This is a lie. Our children, they praise God, and they listen, they believe, and according to the word, you live your life. We have the song, you believe, you listen, and according to the word, you must carry yourself. And this is the life of faith. This is what it means to uprightly believe in God and leading the life of faith. And this is what we must do to each other and encourage each other to do, to carry out. You don't listen to God, and you don't believe in God and the word, and you don't accord yourself with the word, and of your own volition and your caprice, you lead your life. This is not right. This is why the cell leaders are inculcating you repeatedly and teaching you, and to convoke so that we can listen to the word and lead yourself according to the word, and you implore each other and encourage each other. You don't just interfere, but with love, you encourage each other. Why? Because this is the right way. This is the upright, pious life. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Throughout the history of churches, people have disbanded. The Hebrews, at the time, the life of faith was insufferably painful. In the midst of the Roman Empire, if you were captured, you would be thrown into the burning oil and burnt alive and become the light of the city from the burning bodies, and you will be fed to the lions, and you would have to lead a cloistered life to evade from the existential threats, and people would evade the convocations and the gatherings. And on the other hand, some people did not gather because of their indolence. However, our gatherings are of critical importance. It's imperative for you to gather. Why? Because in solitude, the light in you will dissipate. At the Gapyeong prayer area, there is a fireplace, and you put wood into it, and after you light them up, how does the fire go out? You separate the coil and the wood, and this is what happens. Metaphorically speaking, to you as well, if you do not band together, your faith will dissipate. This is a variable, your faith. Your stance of faith is variable. It's a contingent, and it fluctuates. Big faith could become a small faith. Small faith could be big faith, and it could dissipate all of a sudden as well. And this is why it's important for you to gather. You alone will quickly dissipate. The feverish faith will simmer down quickly and cool down. You have the memory of once being feverish with the faith, but now it is no longer. There's no faith. This is what it means. It is asleep, and it is diseased, and it has no life. Only remains as a memory in your mind, and you are floundering in water, so to speak, and you are deluded into thinking that you have faith. The faith is always a present tense, invariably. You used to believe in God. Yes, that's important, but it has no relevance if you do not believe in Him now, presently. Not from the faith of the past, you cannot be sustained now. Even though you have experienced the miracle of walking upon water, if you no longer have the faith, it cannot be sustained now. It's not in the present tense. It has to be in the present tense, your faith, and you will not be redeemed. Faith is always a present tense. From the faith of now, right here and now, you are redeemed. And today, to be as fiery as yesterday in terms of faith, you must help each other and kindle each other with the fire of faith, the communion with each other, and the interaction with each other. You must do this. It's invariable. At the time of Corona, we were persecuted, but during the hardship, we congregated. When you did not congregate, people had simmered down in faith, and they disbanded and walked away from the church. You have to congregate. This is how you live, and this is life. You cannot live without gathering. You live, you are renewed with your life, and you renew the lives of others through gathering in the name of God. However, throughout history, people have disbanded. On the Sabbath day, people say that you can just congregate once a week. This is all you have to do. This is the most adequate methodology. Who has taught you this? Biblical teachings not teach you this. It is a lie being told to you by the devil. Do not lie. Carry his lie. Jerusalem's church, filled with the Holy Spirit, the devotees, they worship daily. Day to day, they congregate and worship God daily. Jerusalem's church, the neighborhood that had, where the death of Jesus had transpired. This is why they had exerted themselves. Day to day, they have convoked to exclaim God's name. And if you do not do this, during the time of hardship, you will naturally be robbed of your faith if you do not congregate. You must exert yourself. Let us congregate and repeatedly be reminded of the teachings and band together and bond together and carry on the word. Jesus has redeemed us once for all to eternity. He has made us righteous. The pathway to God has been opened up for us. Therefore, let us be empowered by the precious sacrifice that Jesus had made, the blood. And according to the word and the pathway, let us be more than ever be intimate with God by walking the path. And through this, you can preserve the faith and not be robbed of your faith. And people next to you, together with them, let us congregate with them. And to the very end, hold fast to the word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray.